Book of Philemon, and we will continue our study this evening. We'll be looking specifically at verse number 22, and we focused our attention last week on verses 20 and 21, and really the bulk of the message was dealing with verse number 21, where Paul spoke about the confidence that he had in the obedience of Philemon. And what a joy to think about the impact that the testimony of Philemon, and as Paul would have this confidence, having confidence in thy obedience. And I asked the question of myself and of you last week that as we would examine our own lives, who would be confident of our obedience? That they would have a measure of confidence that they're going to obey the Lord. And what a blessing, and we're thankful for it. Of course, the Apostle Paul, as we've studied through this short letter, we have found that he's taken a personal interest in the resolution of the conflict between Onesimus and Philemon. And I believe that as we look at the text of Scripture, the whole of this letter, you find that Paul is interested in the people of God living and following the plan of God. And I'm thankful that God has a plan, and I'm thankful that as we consider biblical Christianity, that two pillars of biblical Christianity are forgiveness and restoration. And I'm so thankful to be forgiven, aren't you? And I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ took my place on the cross of Calvary. He paid for my sin. I don't deserve it, but in His grace and His mercy, He made a way. He offers the free gift of eternal life, and we have been forgiven. And as the people of God, we then understand the importance of forgiving others. And then you think about restoration, and what a joy to consider the truth of restoration and reconciliation as we see it in the book of Philemon through the real true life story of these individuals and an event that took place that caused harm, caused hardship in the life of Philemon, but yet Onesimus had been saved. Onesimus, his life was changed. He was before unprofitable, but now he's profitable. And we see that Paul was personally interested in seeing this matter resolved. As we near the end of the text of Scripture, we find that Paul will mention a number of his fellow laborers. But before he does that, he makes a reference to prayer in verse number 22 that I hope would grab our attention this evening and really be the focus of our study. Notice in verse number 22, notice what Paul says. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he says, "But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." I've simply entitled the message this evening, "The Power of Prayer," and I am thankful that God hears and answers prayer. I'm thankful that as you study the Word of God and you have the opportunity to read the prayers of God's people and you have the opportunity to see how God has ordained it, that His hand is moved through the prayers of His people. And I'm so thankful for that, and what a great privilege. We're mindful of some very prominent prayer promises that we read in the Scriptures. In fact, every week in our prayer bulletin, we have a couple of verses that are there. One of them on the front of the prayer bulletin every week, Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3. When God says to Jeremiah, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And what a joy. On the inside of the bulletin, we have Hebrews 4:16, where we can come boldly to the throne of grace because of the access that has been provided through the death, burial, and glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We understand that He ever lives to make intercession for us, but what a privilege that we have to pray. And we find in the text of Scripture, not only here in this short letter of Philemon and the personal interaction between Paul and Philemon, but we find throughout the writings of Paul, throughout the entirety of the New Testament, you'll find many references to prayer. You know, the reality is that prayer is a privilege for the child of God. It's a unique privilege that is reserved for us as those that have been redeemed. And we have confidence in knowing that our God hears us. He's given us instruction of all of the things, and you've heard me say this before. In fact, on Wednesday evenings a while ago, we had a study just on this thought. Of all of the things the disciples could have asked Jesus to teach them, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And I believe this great privilege of prayer, unfortunately, is often neglected in this era of church history because there's so many things going on, the busyness of life and the pulls of life and the accessibility of other things. I made this statement to someone not long ago that unfortunately in our society today, it's easier for us to call somebody else or rely on our own abilities to resolve a problem than it is for us to pray and wait on God. Everything's just available, right? We can just, and the reality is that it's a blessing to see God work. It's a blessing to go to God in prayer and wait on the Lord and see God do what only God can do. And as we look at the text of Scripture this evening, just a single verse of Scripture, I want you to note, first of all, what Paul requested. It's very interesting, the first statement of verse number 22. Notice what Paul requested. He says of Philemon, but withal, prepare me also a lodging. So Paul makes this request that Philemon would prepare a place in order for Paul to lodge. Now that's interesting as we think about the request of Paul, because the reality is that Paul is in prison at the time of the writing. Paul is in Roman prison. In fact, as you look back in verse number 10, you find that he says to Philemon, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. And so Paul is still in prison. He's expecting to be released, but we find that as he makes this request to Philemon at the time of the writing, he's currently in prison, but he has expectation. And we find that as we look at this request, not only does it reveal to us the expectation of Paul, but notice he says, for I trust, if we think about it, he says, prepare me also a lodging, he's planning to visit. It's a desire, a request of Paul that he says, prepare me also a lodging. I'm requesting that you do this. I'm expecting that I'll be released from prison, and I plan to come and visit. And it helps us to see, as you would think about the personal nature of this book and the interest and the personal involvement that Paul has in seeing this matter resolved, he's saying, I'm going to come and visit. Prepare me also a lodging. But we see that that request is really, as we look at the rest of the verse of Scripture, we see not only what Paul requested, but we see what Paul recognized. Notice what he says at the end of the verse. He says, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. I wonder how Philemon would have read this verse of Scripture. I wonder if, as Philemon read this verse of Scripture, if there was a weight that was upon him. Because when I read the verse of Scripture, if I put myself in Philemon's shoes, Paul's saying, I trust that through your prayers, I'm going to be released and I'm going to be given unto you. I better be praying, right? I mean, there's an expectation that we see here, but we find that as Paul is recognizing the truth of prayer, the power of prayer, the priority of prayer, and he says that, I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. He did not say through your schemes. He was not trying to find Philemon, sending him some message of trying to figure out how to come and break me out of this prison and we're going to just scheme and plan and devise. No, he says through your prayers. And when I begin to recognize what Paul is saying, and I begin to see that Paul is communicating not only to Philemon, but for us as it's been preserved in the Word of God this evening, that his release, the release of Paul from prison, would be the direct result of prayer. It'd be the direct result of prayer. And I think about the way in which Paul is expecting that God would do what only God could do. Now, I want you to think about Paul. He'd been in prison before, had he not? I think about when he was in Philippi. right? He was beaten and they were in prison. They were thrown into prison, and at midnight, what were they doing? They were singing and praising the Lord. What did God do? Sent an earthquake, right? Paul was released supernaturally, right? God worked on his behalf. I think about Peter being released from prison. I think about the disciples prior to that when they were put in ward, and then they were told, the leaders were told, go get the men that we put in prison. And they say, we found it, shut up, but there are no men inside. And then they find out just a little while later that those men were actually down at the temple and they were teaching and preaching. So God is able. When we think about prayer and we recognize this evening that as Paul is recognizing that our God is able to do anything. I think about what Paul says to the believers. We often quote the verse of Scripture. Turn over there if you will. I want you to look in the book of Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter number 3. And I want you to see what Paul says, because we often quote it, and we sometimes need to just take a moment to see that it's written there in the Word of God and allow it to have a profound impact in our lives. But notice what Paul says to these believers in Ephesus in chapter 3 and verse number 20. He says, now unto him, and then notice these words, that is able. God is able. You believe that this evening? We sing the songs with the kids. He is able. He is able. I know he is able. Right? We sing it. But do we believe it? We say, well, God's able to do that. But this thing over here, no, he's able. Our God is able. Notice what he says. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, God works in miraculous ways so that God would be glorified. See, when we have to acknowledge that God did it, then God's the one that gets the glory for it. But as long as we have our plans and our schemes and so on and so forth, then all of a sudden, look at what we've accomplished. It's like Hudson Taylor said many years ago, great missionary, he said, so often what happens is we make all of our plans, and then we say, God, would you bless these plans? He said, far better for us to pray and ask God how we should make the plans, and that he would give us wisdom in developing the plans, that they would be his plans, and that he would bless his plans. And we find this evening that Paul, when he makes this statement to Philemon, when he tells him to prepare this lodging, he then says, for I trust, he has this confidence that through your prayers, I shall be given unto you. I'm so glad that our God hears. You think about the Old Testament and the idols and all of the false worship in the Old Testament. And God would say this, they have ears, but they hear not. But our God hears. Remember the situation there at Carmel with Elijah, and they're running around, and the worshipers of Baal, and they're doing everything they can to try to get Baal to respond. But Baal's a false god. Elijah kind of chides him a little bit and must be on a journey, what's going on, so on and so forth. And then, you know, Elijah prays, and God answers. Elijah had no power or ability in of himself to call fire from heaven. Elijah had no ability. You think about the way in which the waters were put there and the sacrifice was saturated. And when Elijah prays, he says that I've spoken all these things at thy word. He's following the instruction that God had given him. And he prayed, and God did what only God could do. You know, it's interesting when you look at that passage of Scripture. In fact, turn over there. I want you to see this. Over there in 1 Kings, notice what happens here in chapter number 18. In verse, it's very interesting what takes place. In chapter number 18 of 1 Kings, you find that in verse number 21, Elijah says this, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Right in the middle of the verse. He says, "If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. But then after fire fell from heaven, it says in verse number 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it," what did they see? They saw God answer prayer. They saw the fire come from heaven. They fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." Because God answered prayer. How long halt you between two opinions? If God, no, they didn't answer a word. But after they saw God's power displayed, after Elijah prayed, we find that they respond by saying, "The Lord, he is the God." He's not a God, he is the God. And they recognize that. And James talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in the context of Elijah praying. See, Paul recognized the power of prayer. He understood the priority of prayer. And as we look here, I believe that as Paul is writing this to Philemon, I want you to consider back in the book of Philemon in verse number 22 when he says, "For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." You know, I believe that Paul had expectation that Philemon was praying for him. You know, it's a good thing for us to pray one for another. We're commanded to do so. We're to pray one for another. You think about the benefit of not only corporate prayer, but intercessory prayer. That we're to pray one for another. And that we have the privilege of going to the Lord on the behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We find that Paul often, as you would go through, and I would challenge you to do it, to go through and study the letters that God used the Apostle Paul to write, and find how many times Paul says, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." And it wasn't just a Christian cliche. He's really praying for him. It's interesting, if you study the book of Ephesians, he not only says, "I'm praying for you," but then he details how he's praying for them. And then you'll also find this, on a number of occasions, you'll find where Paul makes the request that those he's writing to would pray for him. Sometimes it's as simple as this in 1 Thessalonians 5 when he says, "Brethren, pray for us." But then other times you find that it's specific. "Pray that I would have boldness. Pray that a door of utterance would be open." And you find that he's making the specific prayer request to those that he's writing to. And so Paul had this expectation that Philemon, as a believer, as a child of God, as a brother in Christ, that Philemon, he knew Philemon. They obviously, as we've studied this letter, we've gone through and we've discussed the fact that these men knew one another and they had this relationship. And we find that even as he would make mention at the end of verse number 19, it seems as if that perhaps God used Paul even to lead Philemon to Christ. And you would find that Paul is then saying, "Through your prayers, I'm expecting that you're praying for me." I remember reading, and I don't remember the name of the missionary, but we would use the term, the reference of holding the ropes to speak about praying for those that are on the mission field. Was that Goforth that talked about that? I don't remember who it was. But he talked about holding the ropes. And I remember a missionary giving a testimony of coming back to a church after struggling so desperately on the mission field and just struggling and struggling. And he snuck into one of the church services of a church that supported him and was in the back of the church on prayer meeting evening and went through the entire prayer meeting. And there was never one reference of praying for any of the missionaries that that church supported. And that missionary stood up, and here's what the missionary said. "I now understand why I have the kind of struggles that I have on the field. It's because the churches at home are not praying for us." Wow. That's an indictment. But we find that there's an expectation that Paul has. He says that through your prayers, I shall be given unto you. It's not Philemon that's going to answer the prayer. It's God that's going to answer the prayer, because our God hears and our God answers and our God is able. But Philemon, Paul is expecting that his brother in Christ is going to be on his knees and interceding on his behalf. And I wonder this evening, as we think about the expectation that Paul has, I wonder tonight, as we would consider and evaluate our own prayer lives, I wonder who has that level of expectation in the fact that we'd be praying for them. I remember, and I never went there, of course, but Lee Robertson, he was well known and served the Lord greatly there in Tennessee at Tennessee Temple, and a big church, big Bible college, and so on and so forth. And I remember hearing the testimony of Lee Robertson when people would ask him to pray for a matter, whatever the situation was, that after a number of years of ministry, he had this policy, if you want to use that term, this approach in his life, that anytime someone would ask him to pray, he would just stop immediately and pray. Why? Because life is busy. Life is busy. I got a text this morning from Vanessa, a group text to Holly and I with regard to Kathy and some of the things that she was struggling with and being in ICU last night. And there were three or four things that Vanessa mentioned. And I replied to Vanessa and I said, I'm stopping right now and pray. And that's what I did. You know why? Because I'm busy just like you are. And if I got that text message and then I just went on, I probably never would have prayed about that stuff. Because we're busy. And you get a phone call, and you get an email, and you get a text, and you get something else, and then this happens, and we had water coming in the building today because of the flood that's outside, and life is busy, right? So as soon as I got that text, I said, I'm going to stop right now, and I'm going to pray. And I did. And I'm not patting myself on the back in any way, shape, or form. Listen, prayer is a place in my life, probably in all of our lives, where we can certainly grow in the matter of prayer. But Paul says, I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. This evening, Paul understood that his release would be the direct result of prayer. Paul, I think he was desiring that God would do only what God could do. And he was expecting that Philemon would be praying for him. And this evening, there's some brothers and sisters that we need to pray for. Intercessory prayer. Going to God on the behalf of another. Not necessarily my prayer life being all about my list of what I need and what I need and what I need. But begin to pray for others. And engage in that ministry of intercessory prayer. You know why Paul said he was praying for folks? Look at the book of Philippians, if you will, in the first chapter, and we'll close with this. In Philippians chapter number 1, Paul is writing to these believers, and he says this in verse number 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice in verse number 7, he says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. You know why Paul says that he was thankful for them upon every remembrance of you and that every prayer of mine for you all in verse number 4? Because they were in his heart, according to verse number 7. They were in his heart. And those that were in his heart, he prayed for them. He was thankful for them. And this evening, this subject of prayer, it's a broad subject. God's given us much instruction with regard to prayer. But what a joy to go to God in intercessory prayer. Paul says, Philemon, prepare a place for me. Prepare a lodging for me, because I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Wow, the power of prayer. Our God hears and our God answers prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth that's contained therein. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. And God, I pray that you would help us tonight to be comforted and encouraged as we consider the fact that you do hear and answer prayer, and that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But then, God, I pray that you would convict us where we need to be convicted. That as we would evaluate our own prayer lives, that we'd be honest with you and with ourselves. God, that you'd help us to grow in this area of prayer. I pray that you'd increase our faith, help us to remember to be mindful of the fact that you are able. I pray that you would bless our time as we go to you in prayer as a corporate body of believers. We thank you for the privilege in the middle of our week to come for this purpose of not only studying your word, but praying together. God, I pray that you'd move and work as only you can. We'll thank you for all that you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.